Evident Footprint Show, where we talk about government, music, art, health, science, ufology, religion, metaphysics, and all things spiritual. In short, we'll examine the truth, and when we find things that aren't right, we'll offer creative solutions. And now, the host of Evident Footprints, Don Nikoloff.
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to Evident Footprints on BBSRadio.com. So nice to have you here with us tonight on this November the 12th. Now starting to get a little nippy out there, rainy in certain parts of the country. Some folks are actually getting snow already. The global warming is really picking up. It's kind of interesting. We have global warming, and at the same time, it's getting cold. It's quite a dichotomy. Well, other than the fact that people are pretty stressed out by all the political campaigns that have been going on, and I guess in some places they're still going on, certain states, they have some runoff elections happening, and so people are going to have to try to get into office over the next couple of weeks. And there's a lot of stress going on still in people's lives, and people are going to come down from this quite unnatural high that they've been on. I like to call it a mind control high, because everybody wants the best for us, and we're willing to believe anything. And already signs of darker things to come appear on the horizon. And we have to be able to deal with these things. Now, there are a lot of changes that are going to take place in the next year or so, should we make it that far, as they ramp up the attempt to create a new world order and enslave all of society. Meanwhile, you do have some choices on what you can eat, how you can nourish your body, and actually some really creative ways and some satisfying ways. Those of you who have been on vitamin regimens know that you have to remember to take your vitamins, and you have to eat sort of the way the vitamins will work, and really that's what nutrition is all about. However, if you consider virtuous living and really all the foods that you're eating, there are some superfoods, or there are some foods that in and of themselves can get you through lean times, no pun intended, because they can also help you be lean. And hemp is one such food, and we're going to talk about hemp on the first hour tonight. Want to remind the listening audience, the second hour, I will be continuing a discussion on the consciousness issues that we've been talking about over the past week, including the concept of superconsciousness, and we're going to be talking about order. So tonight's show, the first hour, is really going to apply to what we talk about during the second hour. So I hope you can hang in there and pay attention. This guest has been on before, and I have to tell you that I am a user of the Hemp USA products, and I have found multiple uses for these foods, and I can tell you, when you don't have them around, you really miss them. I don't know anyone that has tried any of the hemp products and complained about them. Quite to the contrary, I hear nothing but praises about how wonderful these food products are. So with that, we are going to again be visited by the founder of HempUSA.org, Mr. Tom James. Tom, welcome to Evident Footprints.
Well, thank you very much. I'm trying to stay awake here tonight because I love being on your show, Don. And I got to tell everybody it's around 1 o'clock out here on the East Coast.
That's right.
So, you know, I must love you enough to stay up this late, right?
Well, you love the listening audience. It's not about me. It's actually about the listening audience.
Well, I guess you have a point there. I love them, too, you know, and I know a lot of them enjoy it when we're on together. We have a lot of fun.
Yes,
I do
want to
let people know I am nurturing a racing pig for the future.
You are?
For
hempbay.org. Really?
I'm buying a pig, and he's going to be a racing pig, and I'm not kidding.
Now, is this a pot belly or...
It's a pig, man. It's a dirty pig, but it's a little baby pig, and
uh-huh.
It's going to be my mascot.
Okay. Have you named him yet?
I think I'm going to call him Pig Racer.
Pig Racer.
You know, like Speed Racer? I'm going to call
uh-huh.
him Pig Racer.
Pig Racer. Okay.
That's enough. There's no more kidding around here.
Or you could call him Pig E-Racer.
Okay. Oh, man, I guess we're so tired. I know you're missing your hemp coffee, and I told you I'd get some to you. I will. We will tomorrow, okay?
Okay, yeah. I'm not bugging you, but once you start liking something like that, it's you really notice the difference.
Absolutely.
You know, just for the listening audience, especially the new listeners out here, Tom has a company called hempusa.org, and he markets various hemp products, the edible kind, and as well as a few other things, too. And he's very, very much into this product, and everyone I know that has been taking this, the hemp seeds are actually in two forms, with the hulls or what I guess you would call them hulled.
The hulls, but we call them soft center is our trademark.
Yes, and then you have the hemp powder, hemp oil, and the hemp coffee. Now, the coffee, for those of you who like coffee or those of you who don't drink coffee because it's, the caffeine effect is a bit too much to handle, you don't have this effect with the hemp coffee. And it's a very interesting coffee taste, too. It's kind of a nutty type of coffee. And I suppose that some of the higher end coffees that use chicory, for instance, give the coffee that nutty taste, or hazelnut, or even some of the flavored coffees. But this is a very unique kind of coffee. You don't get jittery, and you know it's very easy to focus on what you're doing without that jumpy feeling, and it's positive. It's a positive food experience. Let's put it that way.
That's correct.
So I don't have any of that right now. And I'm starting to notice, the side effects of having to drink regular coffee, and I don't drink it that much, but when I do, I have to tell you now, my preference is the hemp coffee.
Yeah, that's so. Because we grow it naturally, and it's shade tree grown. It's grown on a farm down in Guatemala, privately owned. And they don't use pesticides or herbicides. When we bring it back to Canada, we specifically roast them separately, and then we grind them together. And it's just a wonderful process that we have, and it's a very unique coffee. And we do have just a whole coffee customer section now that just reorders it, and they just tell me how much they love it. I have a customer here tonight that also... is from Brooklyn. He came specifically out to visit, and maybe later we could say hello to him.
Oh, he's right there with you.
Yes, he is. Yes, he is.
Oh, well.
He came out specifically today. He wanted to know more about the product. He wants to be a distributor, and we've become friends. But he came out to pick up, 10 pounds of coffee and powder and seeds and everything else that, he likes,
Okay, does this person have a name, or is he like being incognito?
No, this person has a name. His name is John, and he is from Brooklyn. And he's lived there his whole life, right, John? Right there, and loves hemp products. He actually went with me to the last hemp show we did up in northern New York about 3 months ago. And we had three tables there. We met, over 700 people, and that we're just so excited to see this product up there. So we're going to be doing a lot of shows together on the East Coast, New England,
well,
all the way down to Florida come spring.
Yeah, if you get into the pig racing, you can have like a pig trailer, you know, just open that thing up and have a track in there and everything. See, folks, we started talking. You like that idea, huh?
It's a very good idea. We can make money with that, too.
Well, we talked about
the fact that a farmer,
you had mentioned that one of your farmer buddies had given his pig, the hemp, and
oh, yeah.
He started losing weight. And you said, you don't want to give it to a pig, you know, for the normal reason. And I said, yeah, but if you were racing them now, that's a different story. And we've been rolling
with that.
You better
believe it. You want a slick racing pig with muscle, you better give them hemp. And I'll tell you, they love the hemp. They love it. I'm not kidding you. First of all, I'll be honest with you, all kidding aside, Don, every animal loves hemp. My hemp oil has been selling wildly for dogs and cats. I have a lot of women tell me their cats bother them if the owner does not put the hemp oil in there. Same with the dogs. The dogs will bark. They really do get used to it. And I know you have a parrot, and your parrot loves the hemp seed, no?
Oh, yeah. He asked for it by name. Yeah.
We got to have him on the show one night, Don. That'll be hilarious, man.
I know.
That would be hilarious,
you know,
I have to
wake him up to do this show at this hour. That's the problem. But
You see that? Your bird gets to sleep, but I don't.
Yeah. Man. Well, I'll probably have to record something and just play it back to the audience.
You know, we could have him as we could do him, use him for the pig races voice. You know, he could be he could call, you know, who's first, second, or third. You know. Anyway, John loves everything. He's very into the coffee, right, John?
Coffee and the powder and the oil.
Yeah, he's really changed. He's lost a lot of pounds over the last few months. Has turned probably hundreds of people onto it just in the Brooklyn area alone.
Mm-hmm.
And loves the product, so he's eventually going to be a distributor. But he happens to be here with me tonight. So,
do they have hemp parties in Brooklyn? I mean, when you have that many people.
Well, we have hemp coffee parties. He had one the other night. We had one here last week. I mean, when we have parties, we always have hemp coffee on because it just everybody's laughing and smiling and happy.
You're going to torture me.
The hemp coffee affects you in a very, very positive way.
Yeah, I know. And you're torturing me now.
Yeah, that's right. You don't have any. matter of fact, John, you want to make a little hemp coffee? Yeah, make a little coffee. Make 6 cups and let's just rub it in Don's face. We're going to have some hemp coffee on you, Don. I need to wake up a little bit. And I'll be very honest with you. I absolutely sleep like a baby, whether I have it or I don't.
That's right. Yes.
It's not the sleep habits. It won't make you nervous or jittery, like you said. That's very, very unheard of for coffee.
Uh-huh.
And not only that, it tastes good. It doesn't bite you. It's very smooth. And listen to this. Not only is it not genetically modified, but they're finding now in 2007 and 2008 that there's so many biochemicals that are incredible for the brain in this coffee that they have new research out in the medical journals that I'm going to be putting together. Next time I'm on the show, we'll talk about it. So
well, that's
there's
great.
So many incredible nutrients. And guess what? Guess what I found out this week? It has the highest antioxidant value of any food on Earth.
Well, I know that it's real high in the omegas, right? The omega-3s and the...
I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about the antioxidant level is 4.5 times higher than fruits and vegetables. Can you imagine that?
That's great.
Well, it's amazing. I did not know that until last week. So I got so into this, I'm ordering certain different studies. and I didn't get them yet. And they're proving that there's just so many nutrients and benefits for the brain in coffee. And that is why, you know, I think how many people around the world, I think you're talking, I think out of 6 billion people on Earth.
It's almost
you're
7.
You're talking about 1 billion coffee drinkers.
Wow. Yeah, we're rapidly approaching 7 billion right now.
Close to 7, right?
Yeah.
It's an amazing amount of people. But they're really finding wonderful things about coffee. But I'm talking about naturally grown coffee, not something that's genetically modified.
Yes.
Okay? I'm talking about naturally grown. And now you add the hemp in it. Oh, forget about it. Forget about it. Now you've got a whole nother world, a whole nother coffee, because now you're consuming 18% protein in every cup of coffee you have. You know, and that's very incredible. So it's 18% protein. It's changed the whole frequency of the coffee. Regular coffee brings your frequency down. Hemp coffee brings your frequency up. And there's not one person yet that I've seen that checked negative on a muscle test, you know, a kinesiology test?
Yes.
Not one person has ever checked negative. Rock hard arms. It's like the body needs it. It's beneficial. It's beneficial. It's beneficial for the body. And that's all we're finding. And we did about 6 or 7 tests on it this week with different people again. And we're always amazed. You know, I'm always amazed about hemp just affects other foods. Now we're seeing it affect everything. So it's exciting to know that we're able to get this and eat it and get it into our system, because if we can have it in our coffee, why not, you know?
Mm-hmm. You know, the past week, Tom, I've been doing, I guess it's about a week now, yeah. Today will be the 7th day. I've been doing shows on consciousness, and focus is one of the things I've been talking about a little bit. Mental focus and the focusing of energies and the focusing of intent and cooperation and creativity, all of these issues that give us our freedom. And in the process of talking about this, what has come up a couple of times is this example that you just gave about the muscular kinesiology tests and different ways that these mind control systems have either been used to affect us, or ways that we can test to see how we're being affected by what we eat and the toxins that are built up in our systems.
Uh-huh.
And everybody that I know that is on some kind of regimen where they're really considering the quality of the food that they eat is already leaps and bounds ahead of those that really aren't paying attention. What I notice from the hemp products, which is a cut above what I'm hearing people who are eating organic foods, is a similarity in the comments about endurance and focus and the fact that you can do menial tasks or tasks that really take a long time. Like, I spent several hours raking leaves today, and I mean 30 bags worth of leaves. That's a lot of bending. That's a lot of raking.
Oh yeah.
And you wouldn't think that that it would take that much out of you, but I can tell you, when I wasn't eating hemp or taking any of the hemp products, with my ordinarily organic foods, I would notice that I would get tired, and that fatigue would hang with me for a couple of days. I mean, it's not like you're out there every day raking leaves, so you're going to use muscles that you don't normally use in that repetitive action, and you're going to fatigue the muscles raking that quantity of leaves. I haven't had the experience, and I've had to rake leaves now 5 times. You know, I've got two huge oak trees that drop tons of leaves, So it's a repetitive action, and I can tell you that it was actually enjoyable. I was very focused mentally while I was doing it, and physiologically I came through it with flying colors, got the whole task done in a matter of hours. And mm-hmm. without all mm-hmm. the negative after effects that you feel. I can tell you.
Well, let me tell you, hemp is a brain food. Hemp, not only do you focus on whatever you're doing, whether it's raking leaves or building a shed or plowing snow, painting your house, you're going to enjoy it more because you're focused on what you're doing. You're accomplishing something. But there's something about what's in the food, the nutrition. There's so many things in hemp that I believe that they really don't want us to have. And I believe that, you know, it's been kept from the American people for quite some time, not just for clothing or for paper or for oil, but for health. And you're right. When you take it, you really do feel a difference, whether it's an attention to specifically focusing in onto something you're doing mm-hmm. or getting your work done and really having your mind on it or completing a paper or writing a song or completing a book. Your focus is far superior when you have the proper nutrients that affect the brain cells.
Yeah.
You know?
Now, what I noticed, and normally when you're doing a task, and you know, I'm not asking for sympathy or anything. I mean, I was just raking leaves, but it was a mm-hmm. heck of a lot of leaves, okay? A lot of bagging, a lot of carrying the bags, moving them to one area. And these things were heavy when they got filled, let me tell you. Now, I was very meticulous about getting it all up and not procrastinating and getting the job done, but what I noticed is I never once had a negative thought about it.
That's great.
What a drag this is. You know, that's how much I was in the flow of what I was doing.
It's being in the flow, and it's really great. And remember, you're working at a different frequency with this food. It'll raise the whole frequency of the body. And I told you before that it's a very high-frequency food. It does affect the brain. It affects the electrical system of the body. It affects everything.
Mm-hmm.
And it really puts you in another realm. And I like to be there. I really do.
Now,
I like.
Yeah, you can imagine if you're just doing a regular, ordinary task, nothing special, that you're going to have a lot of energy. And this carries into my work. You know, carries into my research, it carries into the energy I have for the show.
Hey, Don, I can't believe how far I've progressed in the last 6 months and all the new products I've come out with and all the new packaging and all the new shipping and all the new receiving and the new warehouse. It's shocking to me. But I realize that I'm able to concentrate and do more things than most of the people I know. I can literally... Sometimes I say to myself, I do a job of six people sometimes during a day, whether it's answering the phone, taking orders, getting shipments out, just you name it. I sometimes can't even believe it. And it's a nice feeling, though, isn't it?
Yeah, exactly.
It's a nice feeling that you're accomplishing something. And the end result is you're helping everybody. You're helping everybody get better. And you get nice emails. You get thank yous. And I'll tell you, it's amazing. And the hemp products do work. Our hemp is very different than what's found at the stores, and we can go over that if you want in the future. What makes them different? And I think it's very important for people to know why our hemp food has a different taste, the texture is different, and the capacity level of nutrition is higher, and the protein is much higher.
Yes. Well, Tom, we're going to take a short break here. And when we come back, let's talk about that a little bit, okay?
Sure.
Folks, you're listening to Evident Footprints on bbsradio.com, and our guest, Tom James, will be right back, so don't go away. More to come.
Thank you. Superfood for you and your family. Hemp has nutritional values that far exceed any known plant. Hemp, used for food, clothing, and shelter since time began. Hemp, this God-given food source is controlled by your government, making it not legal to grow for American people and farmers, but legal to import. Our founding fathers grew hemp because they knew of the benefits it offered. The protein powder, seeds, and oil are available through hempusa.org. Recommended daily intake of this food source will allow the body to heal itself from many ailments. Loaded with potassium, magnesium, calcium, essential fatty acids, amino acids, and nutrients not available in other plants. Hemp can be stored with a long shelf life as a life-sustaining food source for you and your family. Could this be the government's best-kept secret? Call today at 908-691-2608 and see what the powder, seeds, and oil can do for you. Learn. Help. Shop at hempusa.org. We do not charge for shipping. That's 908-691-2608 or go to hempusa.org today.
The Idaho Observer, a monthly 24-page newspaper in its ninth year of addressing issues that affect all freedom-loving Americans, is one of the few remaining newspapers courageous enough to print the truth. Concerned about the burgeoning national debt and the Orwellian police state growing up around you? Subscribe today. Only $25 for 12 monthly issues, the Idaho Observer prints what you need to know to be a fully informed American. Go to idaho-observer.com or call 208-255-2307.
Houston, we have a problem.
State your problem.
Picking up transmission from Mars.
Welcome back to Evident Footprints on BBSRadio.com and our special guest tonight. Actually, we have two guests tonight now. Didn't know we were going to have a second one. We've got Tom James from HempUSA.org and John from Brooklyn. So, welcome
hey,
back.
We love the BBSRadio.com. I love that commercial. The cutest commercial. We're both laughing here, man. Hey, by the way, John, I just want to let you know this coffee is good.
Oh, I'm glad. I'll be getting.
John, I didn't mean to say that, but it's really tasty.
Yeah. You did say on the airwaves that mine was on the way. Were you sending that out tonight, or was that going to be first thing in the morning?
That'll be. It goes out in the afternoon. It goes out from Southern California.
I see.
They do all their shipping in the afternoon.
Well, So I can let the listening audience
tonight, whether it goes out tomorrow afternoon or Monday.
Okay, I'll keep the listening audience apprised of the situation. Okay.
Okay.
And hopefully, it won't have any impact on orders.
Hey, you know, I was gonna tell you, John. Don. Something interesting I did want to bring up before we talked about how we process our hemp. Okay.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
I want to let you know that we have 5 new products. I don't know if you knew about that. Thanks, Don. I don't know if you knew about them.
Well, I know about the microplant powder. I know about that.
We have microplant powder, which is a detoxifier. Very, very big seller. I've just been overwhelmed with the response from over 400 doctors we have that have ordered it from us, okay? And it all started with one doctor and then a chiropractor and then a medical doctor, and they're all talking, and you know how it is. But people are getting very good results. It's a negatively charged plant powder that pulls out positive toxins from the body. That's an amazing product. It's inexpensive. It lasts three and a half months, and it costs $39.95. And we sell it by the case. We have free shipping by the case. And we're shipping it all over the world, and we're getting an incredible response from people. And it's wonderful for upper respiratory. Wonderful for chemtrails, which I don't have in the radio ad. I never talked about it, but we're finding that we're getting very good results for people with upper respiratory and breathing with chemtrails. And wonderful for building up the heart valves, wonderful for cartilage, allowing synovial fluid to come back. So it's wonderful for the skin, hair, and nails too. So it's literally a detoxifier for the blood, organs, brain, and the whole body. So it's very positive that way. That's one of the new products. But we also have a new product called Pure Leaf Stevia. We're the only ones that I know of in the United States that carry a 100% pure stevia sweetener. There is no aftertaste. And that's a big, big thing that goes on with everybody. Everybody's complaining about aftertaste.
I personally don't use stevia. But I'm not really using any kind of sweetener. If I do,
don't use sweetener, right? But a lot of people do.
Yeah.
And for the people that do, if they don't want aftertaste, if they try this stevia, they're going to be kind of very impressed, believe me, because it's a tasty product that'll last for a long time, and you only need very little. And
now,
it's just a wonderful
is anyone using that
in
actually like in cooking or baking? Are they using that?
Oh, yes. Oh. Wonderful, by the way, for the pancreas and the digestive system. It's wonderful. And they really don't want the pure stuff here, but it's wonderful stuff. And I'm going to tell you, when you try it, you'll probably say, wow, because it really is a wonderful marriage with the hemp coffee. We all love it. And for the people that, you know, there's a lot of people that drink coffee without sweetener, of course. But I kind of like just a little bit in there, man. You know, it's just wonderful. But, by the way, this is really good. I'm just having a sip right now. Hold on.
Well, you can send some of the stevia with my coffee. How's that? And I'll let you know if I like
that one. Do you like it? Do you want some sugar? You want sweetener? I thought you didn't use it.
Well, I mean, I'll try it. I'm not saying that, you know, I'll try it so I can say, hey, it's really good. You know, you want me to talk about it? I'll be happy to talk about it. But
yeah, the stevia isn't.
Right now, I don't have the coffee to put it in, so it really wouldn't matter.
Yeah, right. The other thing we have that's very new that we have on the website is the Bio Ball. It's a laundry ball that has ceramic beads in it, real ceramic beads that bang around when it rolls. And it creates a negative ion in the water, which creates an alkaline water. And it literally loosens dirt off of clothing, so you don't need detergent.
And that's pretty cool. Now,
yes, and it kills bacteria. They last for a long time. And you can recharge them by putting them out in the sun. They're amazing. I sell lots of them. I just figured I'd just tell you all these new products I have. And we have also a dog and pony show dog bone made out of hemp. It's also for horses.
Hmm.
And they're going to be, the newer ones are going to be about 4 inches long, and they're going to be about a quarter inch thick. So they're going to be nice and hard, but they're loaded with nutrients, loaded with hemp oil, loaded with microplant powder. So they'll literally deworm the dog, and just the dog will love this little treat, you know. So we sell a lot of dog and pony show biscuits, okay? And that's just been another big seller also. So we have a lot of new things that, you know, you really can't get anywhere else. And I just wanted to let you know. And there's other things. We have salt lamps now from the Himalayan Mountains because they spread negative ions. They're very positive for people with upper respiratory problems. And then we have beautiful pictures with them on the website. So I just wanted to let you know about those new products, you know.
Yeah, you were describing now. People are setting those up like one in each corner of the room, sort of to create sort of a perimeter around the room.
Yeah, a lot of people do it. I have right now, I have about five lamps. I have a lamp that is 31 inches in girth and 18 inches tall. It's 75 pounds.
Hmm.
It's the most gorgeous lamp you'll ever see. And no, I'm not selling it.
Well, I wasn't interested, so it doesn't matter. It doesn't faze me.
Oh, no, they're beautiful. It's a beautiful lamp. When you see it, well, let me tell you what, it affects the whole inside of the home will be affected with negative ions, which actually creates a very relaxing, joyous, happy atmosphere. And, you know, when a full moon comes by, which is the full moon, which is today, the 13th,
mm-hmm.
there's more positive ions on the earth than ever. And that's why a lot of people go crazy at that time. There's more fighting. There's more suicides. More people die under the operating table. And there's more accidents than ever. There's sometimes they double because of the positive ions that are, you know, between the moon and the earth.
Well, if they're dying under the operating table, I would say that the full moon's also affecting the doctors that are performing these surgeries.
Well, no, the doctors that know this do not perform surgeries during a full moon, and that's a fact. I just got done reading a book called The Ion Effect. Absolutely, it was so interesting. Guess what? I read it again. And then when I got done with it, I just breezed through it again because I was so amazed with it. It's called The Ion Effect. And very interesting. And it just seems like there's so many doctors around the world that know so much more. And they literally don't operate on a full moon. Isn't that interesting?
Hmm. Well, you had said that there many people are dying under the operating table. And I was just wondering who put them under the table.
I meant under the knife.
Under the knife. Well,
You may be
interested, Tom. I've got my first hemp coffee filter.
Well, I'm very happy for you.
Now, so you can imagine what it's going to be like to actually have the hemp coffee be made in that thing.
Wow. I hope I don't forget to ship it tomorrow. I might be, you know, you might. I hope I don't.
I'll get my own pigs.
Tomorrow? Okay.
And
John's going to remind me to ship it.
Oh, okay. And I'll send my pigs over there to take care of business. So you better.
Okay. Hold on 1 second. Hey, John, is that possible to fill me up with another cup of hemp coffee? Yes. let me get back to reality. Would you like to know the difference of how our hemp powder and seeds differ from the competition?
Yeah, it would. You know, I've had some people ask me about the powder, by the way.
Yeah.
Now, you know, we've been talking about the seeds, and we know it can be a snack food. It's something that you can sprinkle on a number of different foods. And,
that's correct.
You know, and it's been great. I mean, I get compliments. It's like, wow, what did you put on this? You know, it doesn't matter what I make. It really enhances the flavor of foods and makes it interesting. So
yes, absolutely, absolutely. That's what cooking's about, giving something a nice flavor. You know, I put it on my flounder. I put the soft centers on the flounder. I do a stir fry. I just throw in a half a cup of soft centers in there.
Yeah.
And it's just good. Sometimes seeds, too, of course. But the difference with our powder is we have a process when we sift the powder, okay, when it's ground up from after we press the oil out, we leave 12% of the oil in the seed, and then we grind it into a cake powder. And the grinding process, when we sift it, we sift out more of the fiber, and we bring up the protein content.
Mm-hmm.
So our protein content in this cake powder, which is not a flour, all the other ones are flour, ours is a cake powder, big difference, it brings the protein value up to 52%.
Yeah, now I noticed that there's no hulls in that. So are they making that powder from the soft centers, or are they just process of screening it out?
No, it's ground up and pulverized to a very fine mesh. We have a very fine cake powder, and it's heavy, and it's like it's a cake powder. There's more oil in it than any other hemp powder on the market, so it makes it cakey. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And if you look at the other one, there's a lot of fiber in it. There's a lot of filler fiber, and we take that out because we want the protein. So I have a lot of weightlifters that buy it and a lot of people that are very much athletic and a lot of runners, and they know a good food, you know, once their body has it, and they reorder it all the time. So the difference on that point is big. Secondly, our seeds, we're the only ones that toast them in North America, and we're the only ones that salt them. So in that process, we toast them at a very low heat. We don't hurt the enzyme value or the nutritional value ever, and there is no loss of any of the oil in the seed. It's still 31% oil. And in that process, we make the seed non-viable, so we're the only ones that do not have to sterilize them, because every other seed that comes over the border is raw and sterilized. So we have a very ingenious method of doing this, and it brings out the taste so much more than a raw seed, and they're easier to chew.
Mm-hmm.
So you can see all the positives. You can see why people buy so many seeds.
I have a friend, I could say it's a friend, it's acquaintance, not as close as some other friends, but we got to talking about your products, and he whipped out a can of this stuff that he got at the health food store, and it's a hemp seed. In an aluminum can.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm just wondering if people are really considering what types of containers we're buying our food products in.
Well, that's a good point. That's a good point. You really don't want anything in aluminum, you know. You certainly don't want to cook in it, and you don't want anything stored in it, especially if it's sealed, if it's nitrogen sealed.
Yeah.
You wonder what's happening with what's in the aluminum. Is it impregnating into the food? Good point.
You know, we don't think about those things. And I brought up that issue, and I said, you know, I don't know the nature of the can that you have there, but imagine that sits on a shelf for a year or two. How much of that aluminum is interacting with the food?
Yeah,
you know?
Wow.
It was interesting just to compare the portions too, you know, because it was in a can smaller than a regular soft drink can.
Oh, you know, my. I guess, are you kidding me?
No, it was just, I mean, it was in this little aluminum can. The difference is it had a pop-off lid on it, but other than that, it was just an ordinary aluminum can.
Well, all I know is when people taste our toasted seeds, they fall in love with them. Whether they're salted or unsalted, they're both wonderful. And I just find that people just really want a high-quality product. And we still do not charge shipping. We're shipping all over the country. We do not charge shipping. And actually, if you go onto my international site, I build in whatever the shipping would cost me is built into the price, so nobody's going to pay shipping even with the international. It's already built in and figured in. So I do a lot of overseas orders, a lot, and everybody's happy. And, you know, so basically you could say that we still are even shipping. There's no separate charge for the shipping. It's all built in when it comes to the overseas. Because we go the cheapest way we can to get it overseas, we use USPS. We don't use FedEx, only through Canada, because it's just too expensive. You know?
Yeah.
We've got it worked out where we have certain packages. The way we package them, we can get them overseas.
Yes. So I'm on your website right now, your hempusa.org website.
Yes.
And I've been... You know, taking looks from time to time, reading some of the testimonials that you have there.
Yeah.
And I'm noticing that people are basically saying the same things that I've been saying, so I know that either we're all crazy or these products really work. And and I can tell you that in terms of a replacement for a snack food, without all the side effects and all the drawbacks that you have from the average snack food, and everybody's got, you know, their preference. Some people will eat cookies, other people will eat crackers or potato chips or popcorn or some, you know, usually a carbohydrate or something with a lot of grease in it. And the hemp seeds is quite a bit different, because a small amount actually is very satisfying when you're hungry and you figure, you know what, I'm going to try a teaspoon of the soft centers. Telling you, it's so different from eating an ordinary snack food, the benefits. You notice it. And I'm reading the testimonials that people have, and they're talking about all the benefits they see right away.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. And the better shape they're in, the quicker they'll see the effects. Because some people are sedentary, it might take a couple of days, 3-4 days. But a lot of people, like if you're a weightlifter, you'll feel the effect within 20 minutes. So everybody's very, you know.
Now, I remember also you had made a commitment that you were going to send me some of the carob powder. You remember that?
Well, you got a big order for me last month, my friend.
No carob powder, though.
Yeah, I know.
So if we're going to talk about this, you got to let me try it out.
Yeah, I'll send you about a tenth of an ounce. Is that okay?
A tenth of an ounce? Okay.
I'll put something together for you tomorrow.
Okay. That's as a chocolate replacement. Now, I've eaten carob bars, you know, some of the health food bars.
Yeah,
And they're quite good, and I have to say that that's a smart move that you made there.
Yeah, we made a delicious carob shake before, and we used a little oil, we used two bananas, we used real good high quality organic milk, and we used a teaspoon of carob and 3 heaping tablespoons of the hemp powder, and it was an unbelievable shake. No, John?
Yeah, it was
a great shake. So the carob really, you know, if you get tired of different things and you want to taste like a chocolate shake, it's a wonderful way to spruce up the hemp shake and change it into a chocolate shake. Kids love it. Women love it. Everybody loves it. It's just a wonderful way to go. So I'll have to send you. I got to open my mouth. I'm going to get in trouble with you. I keep opening up my mouth. You know what I mean? Don?
Yeah, I'm listening.
If I tell you, I'm going to have to give you the whole store. I can't tell you. I have other things coming out. I'm scared.
Well, did I tell you my birthday's coming up on the 27th?
and I'm checking. I'll remember that.
I'm checking out your water ionizer here.
We've been selling those for 12 years, very successfully, by the way. They're wonderful. I've never get them back for service. And one filter will last 1,000 gallons of water. So literally, you could make pure, gorgeous alkaline water for 8.9 cents a gallon. So it's really a good unit.
Yeah, that's a long time. And I notice it says Jupiter Science Melody, JP-104. Now, my ruling planet is Jupiter, so there's another synchronicity there.
Yeah, that is a little synchronicity there. By the way, in 2 weeks, we've got two products coming in. I'm going to share them with you, okay?
Okay.
I'm going to tell you about them.
All right.
It is a multipolar magnetic restructuring device that goes onto your water line of your home, your office.
Okay.
Okay? It restructures the water to a point that the molecular structure is changed and the memory is wiped clean. So it's the clearest, cleanest, most active living water that anybody will ever know. And it descales the pipes in the home. It'll the hot water heater, appliances, solar panels, air conditioners. And they're saying that it will dissolve stones, kidney stones, gallstones in 4 to 6 weeks. This is the best water. It's the wettest water known. And this device can be hooked up in 15 minutes on your water main. There's no filters to buy. They've been using them in Bulgaria and Poland and Russia for years as a filtering device. So it's amazing. So there's nothing extra to buy. And then I'm going to be selling the companion to it, which is a portable funnel with the magnetic multipolar device built inside of it. So when you're out at a restaurant, any liquid you have, you can pour through this device, and it is absolutely changed. So,
now, you said it erases the memory of the water completely?
Totally. Completely.
So how does the water know that it's water then?
Which means it brings it back to when the water was probably on the planet when, you know, the prophets were here. The water has been diseased and impregnated with all kinds of chemicals, and it's just, it needs to forget where it's been.
I'm being ridiculous, but if you really consider what goes on, what we put out, imagine
we have the same water we had for 7,000 years.
Yeah, and all the accumulative vibrations that have gone into that water, too.
Yes, yeah. You know? Now, I got to tell you something. We have about 200 of these coming in. 70 of them are already sold. And they're absolutely going to be totally mind-boggling for people. They're not going to believe what's going to happen. When they use it in their home, they'll be able to use half the amount of detergent in their dishwashing liquid, in their detergent for washing clothes, showering, taking a bath, because the water is going to be so much wetter and so much more penetrating that it's really going to affect everything in the human body. So it's very exciting, and you're not going to see it bead up on your body. It's going to penetrate your body. It's going to affect it. And the descaling factor is very big, which means if it descales a hot water heater, you're going to be able to heat your hot water heater for a whole lot less money, and your electric bill is going to go down because it's going to be more efficient. It's not going to have to go through all the mineral buildup to heat up that water. It's just going to be there. So you know what I'm talking about, right, Don?
Yeah. Now, there's nothing that needs to be replaced on this unit once you install it, you're saying?
Nope. And we've got the dealership for the U.S. on it, and I've got to tell you something. I've been on the phone with three of the largest farmers in other countries that produce pineapples, that produce strawberries and other fruits, and they've been using this water for over 2 years. They are saving every single month 30% on their water bill because the water is wetter. It's more penetrating. It penetrates the roots of the plants faster. And they're getting a very high yield, 20-30% higher than normal. The fruit is sweeter. The fruit is bigger. They're getting an earlier harvest. And less wear and tear on the water pumps that water these massive acres of fields. So they're getting longer life out of their machinery with more forceful power because there's less friction. Less viscosity in water, less friction on machines, right?
Mm-hmm.
Imagine that water in the body. So remember what we read in the Bible a long time ago. In the last days, knowledge is on the increase, and God's been opening up all these doors. That's why I'm coming out with all these products. It's just been very exciting, and they'll be in 2 weeks. So it's just wanted to let you know that that's one of my newest products, and we're going to release the new radio ad, which was just completed today. We just had it voiced over, and that's going to be released in 2 weeks, too, and I'll have to send it to BBS Radio.
Yeah, send me those ads so I can play them on my show, too, you know.
Did I ever send you the one for the microplant powder?
No, you didn't. I'm still waiting on your sing-along song, too, with your guitar.
You're kidding me. You don't have that one?
No, sir, I don't.
I have to send them to you. I'm sorry. Well, anyway, I just wanted to let you know, Don, that these are products that are going to be mind-boggling to most people. And if they really want to see a change in just their health, the way they feel, the way they think, this water is really going to do it, I'm telling you. Now mix that in with the hemp products and everything else, the life's got to be better, you know?
Oh, yeah. I know, I can tell you this, too. You know, I was reading about the microplant powder, and it says basically tasteless.
That's
and
correct.
The first time I tried it in a glass of juice, and I mm-hmm. couldn't taste it in the juice. And the second time I tried it in a glass of water. Couldn't taste it in the water either. It was interesting.
Yeah, it's wonderful, and it's a wonderful way to detox, a wonderful way to build up the bodily organs that need silica, which most Americans are deficient in because it's not found in the soil, not going to be found in the vegetables and fruits. So
mm-hmm.
we've got to put it in from the outside. It's an essential. It's essential. So we need to put silica back into the heart valves. We need to build up the cartilage in our joints. We need to be human again. We need to build up the body that God gave us to keep, you know? We've got to
yes.
put these right products in our body. So that's why microplant powder is inexpensive for chelating a body. I mean, $39.95 for like a three and a half month supply
mm-hmm.
is to keep heavy metals out of the body and fungus and keep the digestive tract clean so you can absorb nutrients again, you know? It's really a wonderful way to go. And, you know, I intend to sell, you know, thousands and thousands of pounds every month. And that's what we've been doing for the last 6 weeks. And we're on our second 3,000-pound order. And I just want people to be healthy. And I think right now is a time that people shouldn't just buy one. They should buy a case of it, put it on their shelf in storage, because it cannot go bad. It does not have a shelf life. It'll last 100 years, so they don't have to worry about it going bad, and they get free shipping also.
Yes. Well, Tom, we're out of time. I want to thank you for coming on the show.
Yeah, but now that I'm awake, I mean, you cut me off.
Hey, I have that. I have that ability, don't I? Well, you're awake from drinking the coffee. So.
Buddy, I tell you what, man, I feel like I'm up. I feel like I slept.
Now.
Right, John?
Yep.
Well, anyway, I love being on, Don, and it was good. Anybody needs any kind of help, if they're having problems with their health, tell them to call me anytime. My phone number, can I give it?
Yes, absolutely.
Okay, my phone number is 908-691-2608. That's 908-691-2608, and you can reach me at that number anytime during the day, not tonight. And you can go to the website, which is hempusa.org.
Very good. And I'm going to put your new logo up. I noticed you got you took the guy down. The farmer's gone for some reason.
Well, we got a couple of different ones. Yeah, we got the new one with the world, and it says Hemp USA across it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's one of them. I've got a couple of them. I'll send everything to you tomorrow.
Okay. Very good. You're going to send it with the coffee and the carob and all that stuff, right? So.
He's a son of a gun, isn't he? Hey, you're making John laugh here tonight quite a bit.
That's good. Maybe we'll have John on the show the next time and have you sit in the background.
Okay.
He's got to have the coffee first, right? Hey, nice to meet you, John. Thanks for your testimonial and for keeping our man awake there. I know it's late, and he puts in long, hard hours.
Nice to meet you, too. Good to be on.
Okay, and hope you come on again sometime, too. If you're in the area, by all means, pay us a visit. And you can actually call into the show from Brooklyn, too. The number works from there as well. So.
Yeah, he will, too.
Okay, good. All right, well, you have a safe trip back. And Tom, you have a safe trip to bed tonight.
Yeah, I'm going to bed in a little while. I'm just going to finish my other third cup that he made me.
Okay. Well, I want to thank you for... for rubbing it in as much as you have, and I'll be talking to you in a couple of weeks. I guess we have you coming on again. So once again, I wish you the best. And you're on before Thanksgiving. Is that not correct?
Yeah, I think so. The 24th?
24th or the 25th, something like that. Yeah. So.
Oh, okay.
So I'll make sure I remind you about it. So I won't wish you a happy Thanksgiving right now. How's that? We'll wait.
Okay.
But good luck with the pig too. If you get any pictures, email me one.
I'm gonna do that. I'll mail a picture of the baby pig, buddy. I promise.
All right. Well, I'm gonna say goodnight to you guys, and we'll see you next time. You've been listening to Mr. Tom James and his buddy John from Brooklyn, from hempusa.org. Pay the website a visit, or you can call Tom at area code 908-691-2608. And he is a patient fellow, and he'll tell you all about the products that he carries. Make sure that you get the right ones. I'm using quite a few of them, and I have to tell you, they're wonderful. We're going to take a short break, and we'll be right back with hour number two of Evident Footprints on bbsradio.com. Welcome back to hour number two of Evident Footprints on bbsradio.com. I'm your host, Don Nikoloff. I'm going to be with you for the next hour. And we're going to talk about this consciousness thing. I've gotten a lot of email from many of the listening audience, actually from around the world. And folks are very appreciative of the fact that we're addressing these consciousness issues. And I want to, for the sake of those that are awake and have been through this, maybe you've studied metaphysics yourself and you've spent some time in problem solving or in developing your creativity, bear with me if I touch upon something that you know already, because in sharing this information, I have to assume that there may be some folks out there that have never heard any of this, and so we don't want to just throw them in the deep end of the pool and expect them to be able to swim, and they haven't really had the opportunity to test the temperature of the water, if you get my meaning. I'm interested in assisting those people that are asking this question, what can I do? I've talked ad nauseum about all the negative aspects of what's going on in the world, not for the purpose of dwelling in the negativity or the dark side, but to acknowledge that these things are there and that they are being used against us or to interfere with what would be normal processes, our sovereignty, our freedom, and how we were created, and how that has been stifled, stymied, squashed, whatever term you want to give it. We have been cut off from the source, and at least we have been made to believe we're cut off from the source because we've allowed others to make these decisions for us. And we're not happy with that. None of us can really say that we like someone else always telling us what to do. Even those with best intentions are not necessarily going to have your best interests at heart. Only you can decide that. Only you can make that determination ultimately for you to be happy. But there is a general consensus of I don't know if opinion is the right word, or maybe just knowledge that there is a certain aspect to being free and to being creative and able to use your imagination and determine what your life is going to be. Imagine being born and then being told at the time you're born by the doctor that smacks you on your rear end to assist you in bringing forth your first breath, that he makes the determination what you're going to do. And, the first baby to pass through his hands of the day is told, well, you know, you're going to be the guy that polishes the floor on the bowling alleys. And you may have some other activity in mind. You may decide that you want to be an impressionistic painter or a sculptor, or you might want to be a gardener. You might want to work in nature. You might want to heal animals, sort of like a veterinarian, or you might want to be a fisherman, think of all the possibilities that are there and imagine that you're given a very restricted, very limiting job. And the first person that you see when you enter this reality is the person that's determining what you're going to be. Now, if life works out in general with that method, I suppose there's not a lot of harm, but you're still not free. You've submitted or you've given your power to another. And haven't we done that anyway? It may not be that doctor that's done it to us. Could be a family member, could be some experience that we had in life, a traumatic experience that shifted us in a certain direction. And I'm not qualifying that particular direction that you were turned into. Many people who have been abused by adults have turned that around and they've come to the aid of people who are being abused these days. It's one thing to aid those people. We could take it a step further and we could recreate the whole thing that the abuse stops. And then you wouldn't have to treat people for abuse. We wouldn't experience the abuse. But somehow we get so caught up in the problem that instead of being the person that would heal the abused or the person who would help prevent the abuse, some of those people end up working for the companies that sell the drugs that numb us from the adverse effects of those circumstances. Or the drugs that help us to just get through day to day because of the damage that may have been done. And I'm not saying that all drugs are evil, but most of them are very toxic. And when you consider that we use toxins, after we just did an hour show about detoxifying the body, and a good portion of the listening audience is going to take a pill tonight before they go to bed for some ailment. And what we're trying to do is bring forth a consciousness, an awareness. This is a word that you're going to hear a lot more of, an awareness of what is really going on. Your happiness ultimately is measured by your awareness of how you really feel. If you can't pay attention to that, or you can't look at that objectively, are you happy? Or are you so controlled? Have you given up so much of your power that you're powerless to do anything about it? Well, we can become dependent on things. We can become dependent on the teacher at school to show us what we should know. And really the attitude about education is, I studied, I learned, and now my job is to show you what I know. And that approach we've discussed is maybe not the most wholesome approach between a teacher and a student, that the teacher should see that they can learn. They can learn from the student. And so there has to be an awareness and maybe some kind of order in the information that's going to be taught. Otherwise, we perpetuate the chaos at every level. If our experience is chaotic outside of school, outside of religion, outside of our everyday activities, we should be willing to recognize that it is chaotic. Number one, not to be in denial, but to be aware that the chaos is there. Now, does that mean we have to buy into it and become a part of it? Good chance that we were a part of it. And we're looking to free ourselves from that, so we must acknowledge that it's there. If you're going to free yourself from something, you have to be able to at least recognize what it is you're freeing yourself from. That's not too difficult to understand, yet we seem to find a way to be in denial about that, as if to say, well, the problem is there, but it's not affecting me, or it's not affecting anybody I know. Therefore, I don't really need to pay attention to that because, you know, it doesn't affect me. Well, when it begins to affect everyone up to all those around you, eventually it will affect you as well. And if you're in denial that these things are happening, then there's not much of a difference between being asleep, or as we say, or dumbed down and unaware, or to be in denial, to be aware and still be in denial. Either approach or either situation requires some activity to move you out of that space. They're very similar. It doesn't matter if it's the result is procrastination or denial. Denial is maybe even worse than just being ignorant. Knowing this and refusing to look at it long enough to consider the possibility that it may be so. It may be the truth. We sort of run from the truth while we're saying that we're after it. We're trying to accomplish something here which is really empowering. It empowers each individual. This is not me telling you, well, this is how you have to do it, and if you don't do it this way, it's not going to work out. There might be millions of ways of doing these things, but are we doing even one of them? Are we practicing one of them? Or can we meet together? Can we have a meeting of the minds and communicate? Be aware of the problem and be aware of each other and honor the communication, allow each other to communicate, but stay focused on the problem. Stay focused on coming up with a solution to the problem. Not, not one of despair. You have to identify and recognize that the problem is there for the problem to be corrected and to have the all the other things that come along after it's corrected take place. If the problem is something that is stopping people from being conscious, and everyone's trying to be conscious, and they're doing everything in their power to be conscious, except solve the problem that's stopping them from being conscious, they're in denial. Or they're living in the past because they're identifying with the I, with the ego, on the basis of what is known, and what is known is the past. When you move into a state of knowing, you are moving into a state of being. And when you are being, you are acting. You're moving. You're in action. You're not still. Or you're not paralyzed. You're moving in a direction. Now, we tend to think we move from point A to point B. But imagine that the direction you're moving in, all the while you're moving in that direction, you're now experiencing results. Every moment, I mean, we talked about this last week on the show with Michael Anthony and on the show with Jim Murray, we actually talked about this consciousness where people agree to work on a problem together. They agree that there may be differences, but their intention is of the highest order or the highest vibration, that they will achieve some solution to the problem. When they discover what that solution is, they will acknowledge that that is a solution and not necessarily accept that as the only solution, but work together in a serious manner. Now, that doesn't mean in a sad manner, but in a maybe the word reverent could be used, and that we exhibit the qualities of spirit that will bring the highest result through the highest vibration. Everything vibrates, whether you're aware of that or not. Everything has a vibration. The more base the vibration, or the lower the frequency, and usually the lower the frequency, the greater the tendency to pull one back or to hold one back. Raising your frequency may be a vertical move, not necessarily a forward move. Where you are and where you will be raising your vibration could be right above where you're standing or sitting, where you're existing. And it may be that you can exist in both places simultaneously, which is an expansion of consciousness. Expansion of consciousness doesn't necessarily mean that you're moving from one place to another. How about from where you are, you're increasing the area that you can take in, or you're expanding the area of your experience to be able to experience other things, even simultaneously. Now, if you're depending on the mind to carry you through that, you become part of the matrix. You become part of the restrictions. Yes, there may be order in the mind, but if the mind was absolutely in order, it would have already solved all the problems, wouldn't it? We wouldn't have the problems that we have now if your mind was solving the problems. The question then becomes, is the mind in and of itself capable of solving the problems? It has to have all of the knowledge, whether it's conscious or subconscious, and the mind is performing these functions, electrical functions, which is sorting out the information. It's more like the mind, if you can consider the mind would be a muscle, or the mind would be a reservoir for mental processes to take place of different types, of different kinds, and different dimensions. There may be another aspect of our being. In fact, I insist that there is. Outside of the mind, there's a place where we can actually feel and hear and see and know the truth. And that is in the heart center. Many of you have heard this before, even on the show. In past shows, within the last week, we have talked about this very issue. That the real things in life that you have felt have always been felt in the heart. You've never been let down. When you felt love, you felt it in your heart. When you felt disappointment, it can be a head thing, but you can feel the loss or the pain of that experience in your heart. And at the same time, we have this tendency to shift it to the mental plane, or because of sometimes how results come about, they're intended to give us less than the result that we would choose for ourselves. Maybe it's through our negligence of some aspect of how to be creative or how to use our imagination. If we were not aware or we were inattentive or we didn't put enough attention on the issue, if we weren't serious enough or we didn't communicate enough with another person who was helping us, we could easily end up with undesirable results. That's continuation of a problem, or that in and of itself is what a problem is. All a problem really is undesirable results. It's an outcome that we didn't expect or that we wouldn't have created intentionally, other than the fact that it has come about because of some neglect of some aspect of what we created. Sometimes it's the words we use. You see, order has a certain procedure. And if we're using words that disrupt the natural order, we stop ourselves from being abundant or prosperous or what we like to call successful. We measure success in terms of material wealth or material accumulation. And that's not necessarily the true meaning of the word abundant or abundance. Abundance is really the mirror image of a flow that one is experiencing, a flow of things that come to you as a result of the karma you create or the things that you put out there. Could be a result of your creativity. If you're creating your abundance, you shouldn't be surprised if you are abundant. If your intent is to create abundance, and to you abundance is an aspect of the mind, and only the mind, or this mind-heart that we've talked about, which is ego gratification and idol worship, this is what the media teaches us. And it's very, very carefully indoctrinated into all the different types of communication we have. Not just in our towns or our states or our country, but all over the planet. There are things even being communicated to us that we're not even aware of, and that we've never had the choice to decide if we would accept those things. That's how serious this has gotten. So we must pay attention to recognizing the chaos and what is creating the chaos, and seeing ourselves as outside of that at some point. If your intent is to be free, you have to free yourself of that, of the aspect of that that actually makes you an unwilling participant. And it could be as much as making a choice that you wouldn't really make if you had more information and you were being attentive, or it could be a choice that you made because you were not aware whatsoever. You were ignorant of something. Again, you could make a wrong choice, or you could make a choice that normally you wouldn't make if you had all the proper information. Or this this lazy attitude, or this apathetic attitude that someone else has the responsibility of bringing these things to you, that it's not up to you to be aware, and that your freedom should just be automatic and shouldn't matter one way or another. Because there are those that would exert power over you and take your freedom away. In fact, they've already done that. That's a past issue. So now we're moving to the now. We're moving to what will empower us. And I'm not asking the question there at the moment. I'm saying we're moving toward what will empower us individually, in our wholeness, in our holy self or our sacred self, as well as in our collective selves, our oneness with each other. Therefore, agreement is beneficial. Mutual cooperation in the problem solving. And the understanding that we will communicate at the highest level, in the highest manner, at the highest frequency. So we are creating a positive event from beginning to end. Positive in the sense that the intent is to solve the problem, that it will be a focused, serious, and it can still be loving, enlightening, productive, imaginary or imaginative and creative process, using all those natural gifts that we have. It shouldn't take forever to resolve a problem, but if we don't even pay attention to it, I can guarantee you it won't get resolved. And many of the problems we face today are going to be related to how we survive in terms of food, in terms of being able to make purchases or to be able to acquire things that are important for us. And it may have everything to do with where you live or how you live or the size of your family. It could be related to health issues. It could be related to general decisions that you will be making. So we're looking to become or to be what we really are, what we were made to be, and to experience that. That should be our reality, not someone else's chaos presented to us as a TV show or a movie or a story. It's okay to recognize those things, and if they teach us some lessons, fine. We have to be willing, though, to take on and address and solve many of the problems that we face. Man will never solve his collective problems until he solves his individual problems. Really, there is no difference between the two, other than the recognition that when I work on myself, nobody else really wants to be involved in that. But if they can participate in another issue, that's fine. Hopefully, while I'm working on my issues, my personal issues, they're working on their personal issues. We come to relationships as whole beings, not fractions of ourselves. Now, in many ways, people do reflect that second aspect that I just described. How many of you have heard someone say, "Oh, I really love you. You make me be a whole person. You make me feel like a whole person. I'm nothing without you." Okay, how do we take that statement? Are you 0% and they're 100%? Or is it a 50-50 relationship, and you're going to take my 50%, or I'm going to take your 50%? One of us is going to be left with nothing. We should be coming into our relationships with each other as whole people. Why would we want to, or why would we choose to be anything less than whole? Are we so dependent on saviors and messiahs that we don't just have them in politics, but that we have to have them in our personal lives? That we have to have this person that's going to all alone save us from ourselves? The key, ultimately, in life is to have the most rewarding, the most enriching experience that one could have. And so to allow others to disempower you in making choices that would allow you to have those experiences is probably one of the biggest mistakes that we make. It's really at the core of most of our problems. It's that we've relegated or delegated the responsibility for our lives to other people. And what did they do with it? They recognized how stupid we were to do that, how crazy that was, and they took total advantage of us and are still taking total advantage of us, stealing our assets and telling us that they've not stolen enough, that they've squandered everything that they've stolen and they need to steal more. And now they got our permission to steal it. Now, do you call that progress? Do you call that slavery? Or do you call that freedom? I see slavery. I don't see progress and I don't see freedom. Now, there's a progression. There is a definite progression, but it's not progress in terms of an upward motion. It's a downward spiral, and it's a backward motion. We are staying stuck in the past, repeating mistakes that have been made, or allowing others to decide which mistakes are going to be repeated. And we're stuck with the consequences. We've accepted those consequences. Doesn't make sense that we would do that. Really doesn't. But we do those things. So I want to give you a couple of minutes to let this sort of soak in. And I'm gonna play a little music here. Just something to allow you to get into the heart center and just feel this. This music is actually music that targets the heart center. And this is something that's on my healing, or in my healing library. This is a song called Limelight. It's actually the color of the sound of the frequency of the heart center. Have a listen here when we take just a short break, and we'll be right back with Evan and Footprints. Thank you. Now, if you were able to feel or even see the color in that music, and I can assure you there's a color, many times I won't tell anyone what the name of this song is, and they'll describe seeing a green light. In fact, some people will say it's a very translucent kind of green, resembling the color of a lime. It's quite interesting to hear people tune into that color. And there's a lot of order to the music. It has a rhythm. It has a tempo, even though it sounds very free and gives one the feeling of being liberated from the body, actually flying or floating. Some people will describe that sensation. So the music is intended to liberate, and it's intended to tune in or cause one to tune into their heart center, something that many people don't do. The music will actually cause that to happen. And so you will get many people who are not aware that they even have a heart center talking about this sensation of peace, or love, or light, or feeling light, or flying, or floating, or being someplace outside the stress that they're in most of the time. And they didn't go anywhere. They went inside themselves. They didn't leave. They didn't have to leave the house. They didn't have to get in the car and drive somewhere. They changed their reality by placing themselves, well, going someplace in another aspect of their being. I can tell you that the music is intended to raise one's vibration. So if you flowed with the music, it had an effect on your vibration. I've had people describe talking to someone who has passed on in a spiritual sense. They were able to bring closure to the fact that they never were able to say goodbye to a father or a mother or some other loved one. And they were able to bring closure through the frequency that this music brought them to. Or through the frequency that was always there that the music helped them to feel or see or hear or perceive, to sense in some aspect of themselves. And they were free to do that. They were free to make the choice in how that would happen, or even if it would happen. And so your willingness or your ability your choice to go within and make this connection. It's a connection beyond normal consciousness, beyond the state that you're in, driving to work or being at your job or standing in the line at the grocery store or waiting for a red light to change or going to bed at night or getting up in the morning. It's beyond that, and it's moving into the realm of what we call super consciousness or above consciousness or an expanded consciousness. Definitely, here's that word again, awareness. And it's a kind of awareness that actually brings you or enhances your attention. I tell you, when I listen to this music, and I've heard it for a number of years, I wrote this music, I created this music. In a sense, the music was written, and I just brought it here for us to hear. It's not even my music, if you understand what I'm saying. It's our music. It's the music that's out there for us anytime we want to pay attention and hear it. And there are many composers going out and grabbing that music and bringing it into this realm to be shared, to that you can make it a part of your consciousness, or that it can be used to assist you in a realization of super consciousness. Now imagine that there were all these different levels of consciousness around right now on the earth. And you have people who are asleep, who are not even aware of the past, let alone the now, or in a position to create a future. So we have a lot of chaos. We who are awakened, who are working on achieving something more, have a responsibility to point this out to those who are asleep. There has to be a way for us to participate in that in a collective fashion, that those with whom we come into contact can be awakened on a daily basis. These are really elementary concepts, yet there's a lot of things that I've been bringing forth just in the space of a week. And so you're going to hear me repeat these from time to time because they deserve our attention. We're not using these at all. I don't think hearing them once is enough, because especially since we've been mind-controlled and brainwashed through repetition of TV commercials for years. Not to mention what we went through in school and what we go through in our organized religion. There are so many different factors vying to control us, to be the main controller. All in the hope of snatching our power, stealing our power, making it their own. And so many of us do it willingly. We give up our power without even realizing it. Or we do it because it's so much easier to do that than to work at stopping someone from seizing our power. When we give up our power, we give up our freedom. We give up our happiness. We give up our creativity. We give up our prosperity and our abundance. And those are qualities that can be measured in many ways, not just in terms of economics, not just in terms of wealth. We've all heard these sayings that there are many a rich person that's very unhappy. So is it the money that's going to make us happy? Or is it the achievement leading to that measure of success? Or is it something else really that we're searching for that hasn't presented itself to us because we weren't doing the things that would cause that to happen? Or it has presented itself, and because we're too busy with the I self, with the ego, that we're passing these opportunities by left and right all the time. I think it's a combination of both, actually. Maybe some other issues as well. I can remember, I mean, this is the thought that just came up in my consciousness right now. I can remember working with a sheriff's deputy on a case where I was a pretty long distance away from where all of this case occurred. And I was able to establish a rapport with this person because from the beginning of the investigation, I revealed a name, the name of a person who had committed this crime. This was very rare for me to do. When I came up with a name, and in fact now, if I come up with a name, it's usually very accurate. It's usually the person. Often then I would come up with the description of what the person looked like and what the person did for a living or where the person lived or what kind of car they drove or how they dressed or what kind of character they were and who they hung out with. I could pull this out of the ether. And with this particular sheriff's deputy, who was a sheriff's detective, actually, we had this wonderful rapport that I would tell him something that I saw, and he would check out the facts or look for some facts to support that and find out that I was right. And it was amazing because he would come back to me and say, you know, I checked out that lead you gave me, and it's true. That actually happened, or this person actually exists. This person lives where you said they live, or they're driving a vehicle of the make, model, and color that you described. Even the numbers on the license plate match the numbers you gave. It was uncanny, some of the things that we would manifest together working to solve a problem. It allowed that natural frequency to flow through me, and he could pick it up. And I got to where he could drive in a car in a blinding snowstorm, and I could describe what he's looking at, what he's seeing, as if I was there. It was uncanny what happened, and I was as surprised by it as he was. I could probably get this person on the show some night just to talk about those experiences because they were very real. And the point I'm making here, so we don't really have to do that, but if it came down to it, just to show everyone that this did occur, and it's happened many, many times with different people, we have these abilities to communicate on a much higher frequency than we give ourselves credit to be able to do. And in addition to that, we have many other gifts at our disposal when we raise our frequency. Self-healing or healing of each other. And manifestation of new problem-solving techniques that will take us into areas where we solve our energy crises, we solve our financial woes, we heal the planet while cleaning up our water and producing nourishing food. We open up the doors and the possibilities for higher knowledge to come in. And at the bottom line of all this is we learn how to solve our problems. Right now, it seems like the end all to all problems is war. Somehow we've just accepted this fact that if the world is going to exist, it has to have war someplace. We have to have a boogeyman. You know, we have to have the bad guy in the black hat, and we've got to have the Lone Ranger riding his, in his white hat and his, white horse. Now, I know Roy Rogers had a Palomino, but that horse had a lot of white in it, too. you know, we have these representations of good and evil, and we buy into how everything should look so that we can identify what it is and how it should feel and what impact it has on our life. And we're missing out on so much of what there is to live in our lives that we would probably see in a very short time that there's no point in getting sick. Sickness is not serving us any purpose over a long period of time unless we're paying off so much karma that we have to be sick all the time. I know people that move from one disease to the next, like clockwork. And probably everyone in the listening audience knows someone like that. Maybe some of you yourselves are like that. The sickness will serve you until it serves you no more. And then you'll look for something else. You'll replace that with something else. Why can't we do that now? Why can't we set our intention on solving problems? Acknowledging that the problems are there. Really solving problems. With an intention and a serious attitude about solving it, that we're not going to allow failure to discourage us. Regardless of what the problem is. And we can move onward from that point and recognize our true self and exercise our creativity and create new situations that don't have to be problems at all. We know creating problems works because we've got tons of them. They've been created. Probably all of us have participated in one manner or another in the creation of those problems. And really, when you get down to it, if this is bouncing around in your head, it's in the place where the matrix has been constructed to keep us. And the answer to what can I do? Answer is you can decide that you intend to play a role in some way of affecting a change, a positive change, bringing about an awareness, putting your intention and your attention on the problem, recognizing your wholeness as an individual. You're not the fragmented individual now. You're the whole individual setting about to solve that problem, which can be done with others of like mind that recognize that they are whole individuals or they are holy individuals or they are sacred individuals, and they're not fragmented truly in the real sense. Now, in the matrix is designed to divide and conquer, and so fragmentation will occur. But it's not as dire a circumstance as you may think. All you have to do, first of all, is recognize that you have not really been fragmented. You have been convinced and swayed into thinking or believing that you're fragmented. Certainly your attention has been fragmented. So if you can focus your attention, and you do that by setting a purpose, by setting a goal, not through denial, but by bringing your awareness to the forefront, observing the problem, and considering what some solutions might be. And something as simple as quieting the mind and moving into the heart center can facilitate that immensely, can actually speed up the process to where you could come up with a solution to a problem that's that's been plaguing the world in a minute or less. If your attention is exactly focused on the right issue, you may be the one person that solves that problem that the rest of mankind couldn't solve. But we won't solve any of our problems if we're denying them. We won't solve any of them if we're arguing, if we can't even agree what the problem is. It's likely a continuing sign that the chaos is predominant. There's no order to the chaos. It spawns almost out of nothingness. Definitely, there is a dissonance or a discord occurring with the frequencies, you see, because when we have order, when we have agreement, when we have enlightenment, when we have a solution to a problem, we have harmony. The frequencies harmonize. Now, I got to hear someone, it may have been as recently as yesterday, talking about frequencies, and they were talking about the low frequencies. And really, the low frequencies serve a purpose, but they impact the mind more than anything. Somewhere I have a recording of something that someone developed. It was supposed to be healing sounds. And it's something in a very, very low frequency. It's actually almost aggravating when you hear the frequency, but the left ear hears one particular frequency and the right ear changes by, like one hertz. So the two are not in synchronicity. They're overlapping, and occasionally you hear what's called a phase cancellation, and the phasing shifts completely to the other side until that phase cancellation occurs again, and then the sounds flip. Now, what I'm describing there are the peaks, the rises and falls in the sound set up harmonics, or in the case of something that really doesn't lend itself well to harmony, it's going to set up more dissonance, more clashes. And those can be very destructive. Now, they can entrain the brain at a frequency, but that is not the highest place that we can go in raising our consciousness. It certainly sets the brain in within certain parameters and maybe makes the brain subject to mind control or propaganda or something, some kind of control. Maybe to cause denial or maybe to reduce the awareness or the consciousness of that individual. Definitely can lower the frequency. And I heard someone yesterday talking about these low frequencies, and they basically said that as your frequency increases, the low frequencies don't play a role anymore, and so they're not important. So we just keep moving up into these higher frequencies. That might be true, but I would tell you that you would not be grounded very long, and that you would lose your connection, your earth plane connection, you would lose the electrical connection or the spiritual connection that you have with the earth and with nature, and that it might not be such a hot thing to discard those frequencies. They are the fundamentals on which harmonies are created or harmonics are created. It'd be like taking the foundation out of a building. That building can be 110 stories high, like the World Trade Center, but you pull out the foundation, the building is going to go down. And so if you're talking about some procedure or some reality that's built frequency upon frequency, and there are harmonics there has to be fundamental frequencies. You have to have a foundation somewhere. And so I would disagree with what I heard, yet in general, the person was making a truthful statement. It wasn't as inclusive as it could be. The frequency, yes, we want to raise our frequency, but we have to be able to perceive what that is. We have to determine, first of all, where we are. And if we are leaving the frequency of physicality and moving into a higher frequency, you're going to cease to exist as a physical body. So if your intention is to move somewhere else into another reality, good luck. I'm not saying that this is going to happen, but what I'm saying is we're not at that stage yet. We're trying to fly, and many are just trying to learn to sit up and pay attention. Some are trying to fly. Some are capable of it. I'm not knocking those that have, you know, paid their dues and have learned these lessons and have come to an understanding of these things and an acceptance. And we must do this without being fearful, too. Discussions about fear are healthy. We are given images of fear all day long, everywhere we turn. I heard a news broadcast on a Christian-based radio station today, and they were talking about someone that was killed. And I thought, how refreshing it would be to hear about somebody being born or born again. Why did it have to be about somebody being killed? You see, we are so trained in moving down that path that we see no way of escaping it, even though we could consciously make the decision that we weren't going to talk about that specific person dying. The story was just to talk about how someone got killed. It wasn't a tribute to their life. It wasn't talking about the wonderful accomplishments that person had. It was just the death thing. And it was just left out there, hanging in midair. There was the only reason, in my estimation, was just to create that fear factor. To put that fear out there and have everybody tune their frequency to the fear frequency. And I thought, look how much easier it would be to show an uplifting story about some great accomplishment somebody had. Or an act of heroism, someone saving someone's life. So we make these choices consciously as to where we're going, and we give our powers to others. That's how they use the power. They use it against us. Often, unknowingly, ignorantly. We're out of time. I hope you enjoyed tonight's show. We will come back to this topic more often, not every night. It's a bit much, but I encourage you to go back and listen to the archives and think about all these things. You know, I'm one person talking about how we can all communicate with each other. Sort of an oxymoron there. And if you consider yourself and ways that you can improve how you communicate with others, how you listen to others, and allow them the freedom to make certain decisions, and approach your relationship with everybody from a standpoint that you are going to do whatever you can to empower them. By all means, empower yourself. But recognize that others have a right to be empowered, and that your assisting them in that can only help you in the long run. That's how the universe works. The universe will reward you accordingly. Thanks for letting us come into your homes tonight or wherever you happen to be listening to PBS Radio and Evident Footprints. I'm Don Nikoloff. Please pay Tom James a visit at hempusa.org. He's got some great products there. And consider the things we talked about tonight. Join us tomorrow for another episode of Evident Footprints. In the meantime, I wish everyone out there a night filled with peace, love, and light. Special thanks to Don Newsom and Seth Hendrick on the sound. And everyone, have a good night.